I'd like to thank our brother Simon sincerely for bringing that tremendous word of testimony, very clear, how the Lord has saved him and led him and given that wonderful assurance. The hymn writer said, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I wonder tonight, do you have that blessed assurance? Assurance, certain knowledge and hope that your sins are forgiven, and that Christ is your Saviour, and that heaven is your home. I just want to leave one verse of Scripture with you in the closing moments of this meeting, and it's Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and verse number 23. Luke chapter 9, and verse number 23. The Lord Jesus Christ is with his disciples here. And it says in this verse of Scripture, "He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." I'm sure all of us tonight in this meeting know that Jesus Christ died upon a cross. When they were come to the place which was called Calvary, they crucified him. It's a historical fact that Jesus of Nazareth was crucified upon a cross some 2,000 years ago. Many of us tonight not only know that Jesus Christ died upon the cross, but many of us in the meeting tonight know why Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died upon the cross. 1 Corinthians 15. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He died for or because of our sins upon that cross. But here in Luke chapter 9, 23, the Lord Jesus said, "If any man will come after me." And incidentally, all men are invited not only to come to Christ, but to follow on after Christ. Then there's a universal appeal here, a universal invitation. If any man, if any member of the human race, regardless of their age, their background, their social distinction, their religious beliefs, their affiliations, their past or their present, if any man desires to come after Christ, he lays down here the conditions whereby we need to follow after him. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, we all know tonight about his cross, but can I challenge you tonight about your cross? Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What did the Lord Jesus Christ mean here when he talks about your cross or his cross, the cross that we need to take up if we're going to follow after the Lord? He's not speaking about doing some chores about the house. He's not speaking about going through some unpleasant situation. Sometimes people talk about facing a trial or a difficulty or sickness or bereavement or loss, and they'll say, "Well, I suppose this is the cross that I have to bear." And then there are others that feel whenever the Lord was speaking about bearing the cross, he was talking about physically, like Simon of Cyrene bore that wooden cross in the streets of Jerusalem. And there are people who to this day will go to different places and different nations, and they will literally carry a cross, somehow feeling that this illustrates what it means to be a Christian. The cross is not something that you wear around your neck. The cross is not something that you hang upon the wall. The cross is not something that you wear hanging from your ear. But whenever Jesus Christ talked about bearing the cross, he's talking about fully identifying yourself with a crucified and risen Lord. And in the few moments that are left, I just want to speak very simply and very briefly about bearing the cross. What does it mean to bear the cross? Well, the cross, bearing the cross, signifies dying to self. The cross signifies death to self. Did you know tonight that in God's eyes there are only two types of people in this world? Those that are dying in their sin and those that are dying to their sin. Now, whenever Jesus Christ died upon that cross, legally speaking, I died to sin, legally speaking, because Jesus Christ took all of my sin, all of my iniquity, all of my transgressions, as the hymn writer said, every bitter thought, every evil deed was poured out upon my Savior's body and upon the soul, and He made a full payment for my sin. My debts were paid upon the cross. A full payment, a full atonement was made upon that cross for my sin. He bore the full penalty for my sin. Every single sin that I ever have committed in thought or word and deed or ever would commit was paid, atoned for by my Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He, God the Father, hath made Him, God the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." He became the sin offering. He became the sin bearer. He became, in the eyes of God the Father, the embodiment of everything that sin is. And on that cross, He bore my sin. The hymn writer said it well. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, O glorious day. I'm glad tonight that my sins, because of the cross, have been dealt with. Legally, in God's eyes, there is no sin at all upon me. But it also signifies something that's experimental. Whenever the Savior said, "Take up the cross," He was speaking about entering into this experience of dying more and more unto sin. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2, verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." In Romans chapter 6 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul said, "How can we," speaking of Christians, "how can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" And whenever the Savior here spoke about bearing the cross, He was speaking about dying daily. He says, let him take up his cross daily. You see, Christianity is the relationship and the experience, not just of a moment, but it's the experience of a lifetime. It only takes a split second for a person to be born again. It only takes a moment for a person to be converted. It only takes an instant for a person to repent of their sin and trust in the Lord. But the outworking of that and the experience of that is a lifetime experience. Jesus said, take up the cross daily. And He was speaking there about dying to sin daily. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. I wonder tonight, are you dying in sin? Or are you day and daily dying to sin? Do you remember the woman in John chapter 8? She had been caught in the very act of committing adultery. The doctors of the law and the religious leaders took her to a street corner. They gathered stones and pebbles and they were just going to stone her to death. And then the Lord Jesus Christ stepped onto the stage and they tried to challenge him and question him and trip him up. And they said, this is what the law says, that we have to stone this woman. Now what do you say? And the Lord didn't say anything for a moment. He just began to write in the dust of the ground, and then he almost casually says, well, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. And then he began to write in the ground again. And whatever it was that the Lord was writing caused those religious leaders to turn on their heel and flee. Some people believe that he was writing down their names and the sins that they themselves were guilty of. We can't be sure what the Lord was writing. But he challenged them about their sin, and rather than them confessing it, they ran away. And then the Lord said to that woman, go thy way and sin no more. Go thy way and sin no more. He was telling her that if you're going to enter into newness of life, you need to recognize that you can't live as a believer, you can't live as a new creature in Christ and still hold on to your sin. There has to be a forsaking of that sin and an entering into newness of life. Again, I ask you, are you dying in sin or dying to sin? The cross, bearing the cross, speaks of death to sin. It also speaks of denial of self. What is a cross? A cross is the letter I with a stroke through it. And the cross for the Christian symbolizes I stroked out. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Paul said, I die daily. Jesus Christ here said, take up the cross daily. A.W. Tozer, the famous preacher, says, it is relatively easy to get a person to come to a cross, but so often it's a cross that leaves them uncrucified. Now, the Apostle Paul, formerly Saul of Tarsus, was a very godless man. And it might sound strange to say that, because he was a man that attended the synagogue, went to the temple, said his prayers, kept certain feasts and certain fasts. But whenever he was on the road to Damascus, the Lord met him. And he realized that Jesus Christ was alive. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And Saul, you're living a difficult life. You're wrestling against your conscience. You know that you're a sinner. And in your own heart, you know that there was something different about Jesus of Nazareth. And you're kicking against it. And Saul was wonderfully converted. And he was able to say, if any man's in Christ, he was speaking from experience, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are become new. His old life had changed. His name was changed. His standing was changed. His relationship with God was changed. And Saul entered into a life of denying himself. And that's what being a Christian is. It's turning your back on self. Turning your back on sin. And taking up the cross. No person who was ever genuinely saved or genuinely converted was left in the same state that they were in before. Our brother mentioned it tonight in his testimony. All of a sudden he wanted to go to church. All of a sudden he wanted to read the Bible. All of a sudden he wanted to pray. Things that religion could never give him. The working out of the cross in his life made that change wonderfully real and made it possible. I was speaking to a friend yesterday, and he's going to serve the Lord soon in the nation of Brazil. And he says that out there in Brazil, there's this culture of just praying a prayer and going back to the way you lived before and then saying that you're going to heaven. He said, I used to work in the bank. And whenever somebody would come in and try to take out a loan, the person that they spoke to had to give them all of the details of the contract. Very easy to say to somebody, here's a bank loan, here's plenty of money, it'll get you out of debt. But they have to be honest and say, this is how you have to pay it back. This is the cost involved. This is what the small print says. And he says, in Brazil, there are many preachers, and they'll stand up and they'll say, do you want to be rich? Do you want to be successful? Do you want to have a better life? Do you want to get to heaven? Well, then just put up your hand or do this, that, or the other. but they don't talk about faith. And they don't talk about repentance. And they don't talk about taking up the cross. Jesus Christ made it clear. He says, if you want to follow me, if you want to live the Christian life, if you want to walk with God, you have to die to sin. You have to deny yourself, it says in verse 23 here. And the cross also speaks of devotion to the Savior. Paul the Apostle said, I am crucified with Christ. Paul also said, I am dead with Christ. He said, I am a joint heir with Christ. He says, I have been quickened together with Christ. He says, I have been risen, raised from the deadness of sin with Christ. He says, my life is hid with Christ. He says, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ. And John in the Isle of Patmos says, we will reign with Christ. But if we want all of these things, we need to walk with Christ. And that's what being a Christian is. It's taking up the cross. And it's entering into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I ask you tonight, are you walking with Christ in this meeting? Tomorrow morning? Tuesday morning? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, until you come back into God's house again next Sunday, if God spares you, all of those days in between Sunday and Sunday, are you walking with Christ? Are you taking up the cross? Are you following in His footsteps? Again, we say that being a Christian, bearing the cross, is not wearing the emblem of the cross around your neck, but it's identifying with the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ, a life of devotion. A life of commitment. A life of following after the Savior and walking with the Lord. The word Christian, it means Christ's ones. Somebody who follows Christ. Somebody who displays Jesus Christ to a perishing world. C.T. Studd said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, no sacrifice could be too great for me to make for Him. And the cross is not only death to self. The cross is not only denial of self, death to sin, and devotion to the Savior, but the cross, bearing the cross, is a demonstration to society. You see, in the city of Jerusalem, whenever a man would carry a cross outside of the city wall, everybody within that city knew that that man will never be back. And it was a testimony to exactly what they were about to do. They were going outside the city wall to die. And they knew that man with the cross, that woman with the cross, that young person carrying that cross, they're never coming back. They'll not be back again. And yet, why is it today that the world scoffs at the Christian church? And the world mocks the Christian church? I don't wonder at it at all. It's because as the world looks at the church, they see very little of Christ. It was said of Gandhi, the famous Indian ambassador, that in his younger days he read the Bible. And he was greatly impressed with the teaching of Jesus Christ. And yet whenever he looked at the Christians and looked at the church, he came to the conclusion that it's a false religion. Because he saw so little of our demonstration of Jesus Christ before society. Why is it that the world often says, whenever somebody professes faith, I'll give you 3 weeks? It's because they have seen it before, and we have got a Christianity today without the cross. We have got discipleship without discipline. We have got heaven without holiness, conversion without cost, remission of sins without repentance of sins, security in Christ without sanctification of the Spirit. And the Christianity of our day is no demonstration to our society of what the cross is all about. You might be in the meeting tonight and you're not a Christian. I would like to apologize publicly to you that the Christian church is not what it should be. And many Christian people do not display the principles of the cross in their lives. In the first century, Christians were thrown to lions. They were burned alive. They were cut in half. They were imprisoned. They were persecuted. And sadly today, many Christians have lost sight of the cross of Jesus Christ. The hymn writer said, take up the cross. The Savior said, if thou wouldst my disciple be, deny thyself, the world forsake, and humbly follow after me. take up the cross, let not its weight fill thy weak soul with vain alarm. His strength shall bear thy spirit up, and brace thine heart, and nerve thine arm. Take up the cross, nor heed the shame, nor let thy foolish pride rebel. The Lord for thee the cross endured, to save thy soul from death and hell. Take up the cross, then in his strength, and calmly every danger brave. 'Twill guide thee to a better home, and lead to victory o'er the grave. Take up the cross and follow Christ, nor think till death to lay it down. For only he who bears the cross may hope to wear the glorious crown. You know that Jesus Christ died on a cross. You know tonight why Jesus Christ died on a cross. But will you tonight come to that cross? Identify yourself with it. Take up the cross daily and be the Lord's disciple. And enter into a life of witness and service for him. And one day at last, get to glory. If you will not bear a cross, then you cannot wear his crown. Let us unite our hearts together in prayer, and then we'll sing some of those words of that great and glorious hymn. Father, we give thee thanks tonight, O God, for thy presence with us. We thank thee, Lord, for our brother Callum and our sister, Mrs. Bull. We thank thee, Lord, for the working of God in their lives, and we thank thee as well for our brother Simon, and we pray that thou wilt answer his heart's cry and lead him on with thyself. And Lord, we pray for those in the meeting tonight who have never come to the cross, they've never been to Jesus. O God, draw them to thyself. Help them tonight to realize the love of God in providing a wonderful Savior who endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God. Write thy word upon our hearts. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. 527. We'll sing this hymn together. Take up thy cross. We quoted it earlier. Thy Saviour said, if thou wouldst my disciple be, deny thyself, the world forsake, and humbly follow after me. 527. We'll stand together as we sing, and then at the end we'll give thanks for the good things provided. And Simon and myself will go to the door and meet you there if you're not staying. But we trust that you'll be able to stay for some refreshments and fellowship. But let's sing this hymn together. And as always, if we can help you in any way, or God has spoken to your heart tonight or in recent days and you need someone to speak to, we are your servants, as always, for the Saviour's sake. 527, we're standing in just a moment as we sing.